Say, Lord Jesus,
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving. You want to communicate with me. Dyer, would you mind putting the light on? I had a press this past couple of weeks to break open something that I've had for a while, but you know, God brings back things and he kind of stirs stuff up to awaken us to something a little deeper. And you know, God's plan and man's plan are two different things. And I'm going to be sharing with you what he pressed into my heart this morning, early. You didn't have to get up. I was up. John chapter 5 in the Passion Translation, which has quite a few footnotes which give you all kinds of goodies. But again, there are pieces to the puzzle in God's Word that we don't always comprehend. Now, John chapter 5 happens to be a very powerful area for me because of verse 19 and 30, pounding it into myself that Jesus never did anything to please himself. He wasn't interested in being self-satisfied, if you wish. So I'm going to kind of flow with what I believe he wants us to just kind of listen to rather than focus word for word, because there's going to be a wee bit different. And those of you who are familiar with the Lampson Bible, a lot of his references go with that original Lampson Bible. And it's the only Bible that is actually translated from the language that Jesus spoke, which is being still spoken today, which is kind of cool. Okay? So, in verse 1, he says, "Then Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish holy days." And I love the reality of holy days. Okay? He adds to this a footnote, or a feast. It is difficult to determine with certainty which of the feasts it was: Passover, Tabernacles, Pentecost, or most likely Purim, which I thought was kind of cool. Okay? So he doesn't identify which one. So John is trying to get, I believe, those who are reading this letter about his experience. It didn't matter which one. He was at all of them. Okay? He was at all of them. Now, for those of you who weren't here, during the word that was poured out of our sister from Rochester, New York. Oh, and by the way, I happened to watch the tent meeting with Morris Cirillo in Rochester, and that's where they have their church, which is kind of cool. But on this particular piece of information, he took time for the feast every year, whatever feast happened to be needed. For me, because I can't speak for all, I can only speak for me, 34 years ago, he said, "You are to observe every one of my feasts. And do it in obedience, not out of a sacrifice, just do it in obedience." Well, some of the words that came out of her mouth under the anointing while the angels were having a party here was that the Father and Jesus were happy because we observed the feast. You don't know what that did inside of me, because it's 34 years I've been waiting to hear, "You did it right." You did it right. You can be doing it for 34 years and not have a word from him directly. But that word was for me. So I'm saying it to you because, not to boast, but to give you courage to hold on. You know, sometimes 34 years seems like an eternity if you're 35, 37, 51, whatever the number may be. But at my age, 34 years, that's a couple of snaps of my finger now. And, you know, it goes by quickly when you get to this age. So this is God at work. So inside the city near the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Aramaic, the house of loving kindness. I love that. The pool is surrounded by five covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were lying there on the porches, the paralyzed, the blind, the crippled, all of them waiting for their healing. An angel of God would periodically descend into the pool to stir the waters. And the first one who stepped into the pool after the angel stirred the waters would instantly be healed. I'd say yes, 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 right? Okay. Now, I'd like to kind of add that this present area is no longer there because it was destroyed. So it gives a little bit of information. So I'm going to give you this piece of information. The present tense is here in the next indication of when John wrote his gospel, the pool of Bethesda was still there. Okay? However, in 68 through 70, Jerusalem has been destroyed along with the temple by the Roman invasion. This would indicate John's gospel has an earlier date of origin than most people believe. It is likely that John wrote this prior to the 67, which is kind of cool. Okay? So, I kind of put that together and I said, you know, Lord, we can imagine what this looked like, but John was an eyewitness. Verse 5. Now there was a man who had been disabled for 38 years. So I've waited for 34. He was waiting for 38. Lying among the multitudes of the sick. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that the man had been crippled for a long time. So Jesus said to him, "Do you truly long to be healed?" Watch the words. Do you truly long to be healed? The sick man answered him, "Sir, there was no way I can get healed, for I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me." So I think he's got a issue. Then Jesus said to him, "Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk." Now this is a different word than what I'm accustomed to. Stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and you will walk. Doesn't say might. Doesn't say shall, will walk. Immediately he stood up. He was healed. He rolled up his mat, walked again. Then this miracle took place on the Jewish Sabbath. Of all insults to these wonderful men that ran the show, when the Jewish leaders saw the man walking along carrying his sleeping mat. Now, I mean, you can just imagine. They got their eyes wide open, and here's one guy walking with goodies under his arm. I mean, wait a minute. This is not acceptable. They objected and said, "What are you carrying that? Don't you know it's the Sabbath? It's not lawful for you to carry things on the Sabbath. He answered them, "The man who healed me told me to pick it up and walk." "What man?" they said, or they asked him. "Who was this man who ordered you to carry something on a Sabbath?" They're not concerned about his crippled condition.
That's right.
They're not concerned that he couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. Now, they are so focused on the law. Mm-hmm. Do you know some things have not changed?
It's true. Mm-hmm.
I've been in churches where they give you the law, and if you don't believe with the law and behave with the law, and you fall short because of the law, they will judge and push you out. Why? Why? Because that same darkness is still operating today. It's a religious force, okay? 13. But the healed man couldn't give them an answer, for he didn't know. He didn't yet know who it was, because Jesus had already slipped away into the crowd. Kind of cool. In short, later Jesus found the man at the temple and said to him, "Look at you now. You're healed. Walk away from your sin." Now there's a highlight on this, and I want to give it to you. Don't continue sinning any longer is his commission. Not a judgment. An adjustment. Okay? So that nothing worse will happen to you. Now, what does that imply? If you continue in your sin of unbelief, if you continue in your sin, you will have repercussions. Okay? Unless your heart is crying out. And I add that because I've seen people struggle with different kinds of things for a long time, and God did not give up on them, and he's not giving up on those that are around you either. 15. Then the man went to the Jewish leaders to inform them. Now that part I did not know. Okay? He's going to report to the ones that he's answering to, because he's already had a complaint, right? "It was Jesus who healed me." I'm sure they were so happy to hear that one. So from that day forward, the Jewish leaders began to persecute Jesus because of the things he did on the Sabbath. It was consistent. He was trying to break the law, to break them out of their traditions, and they just wouldn't hear of it. Verse 17. Jesus answered his critics by saying, "Every day my Father is at work, so I will work also." This infuriated his critics and made them all the more eager to devise a plan to kill him. You know, they may not have said it out loud, but I'm sure he knew, because his discernment was better than anybody. For not only did he break their Sabbath rules, but he called God my Father, which made him equal to God. Now, there's a footnote on that that I want to give also. They clearly understood that Jesus was claiming God as his Father. That footnote is extremely important. They clearly understood that Jesus was claiming God as his Father in a unique way in which no one else had before, claiming God as a Father like he did. Now, you know, that's like pounding the situation of truth right into their own hearts. Because, you know, a lot of times when you read something, you kind of put your own value into it without even thinking. But that footnote was quite important for me, because again, it says that they knew what he meant. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a doubt. They understood, which is kind of cool. Now, again, I'm going to go back to 18. This infuriated his critics and made them all the more eager to devise a plan to kill him. For not only did he break their Sabbath rules, notice it's their Sabbath rules, not God's. So it's what they had created. But he called God my Father, which made him equal to God. So Jesus said, I speak to you timeless truth. I never act independently of the Father or do anything through my own initiative. How many of you have ever had a nudge to do something? And then you found out, oops, because the fruit didn't really pan out. That's how you learn. That's how you get to understand discernment. Well, is God going to throw you over a barrel because you made a mistake trying? No. So, I do nothing actually through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing. Now, again, there's another addition here. I see the Father doing. Did Jesus have the ability to see in the realm of the Spirit? Yeah. Do Christians have that ability available?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now we're on the same page. How many people have asked the Lord to have their eyes open and then believe that it's not happened because the neighbor didn't get it and the other neighbor didn't get it? So why should I? And they compromise. Don't give up when you pray for something. Don't backslide in your prayer. So, again, I'm going to back it up. Do anything through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing. For the Son does the same work as his Father. They're on the same page. They do it together. Because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to me everything that he is about to do. And you will all be amazed when he shows me even greater works than what you've seen so far. Just like the Father has power to raise the dead, the Son will raise the dead and give them back their life. Isn't that cool? The Son will raise the dead, he's prophesying, and give them back their life. Now, according to the word, are you and I sons and daughters of God?
Yes.
Can you prophesy?
Yes.
It's up to the press from the Father by his Spirit that you might go to a funeral someday and the Lord may say, okay, Lazarus, come forth. Okay? See, limitations should not be a part of your future. It should be wide open. It should be something that you know God has a moment to break through, and the unbelief will be conquered. Because the scripture says the last enemy to be conquered is
death.
Okay? 22. The Father now judges no one. Don't you love that? Papa judges no one. For he has given all authority to judge to the Son. Why did Jesus live in an earth suit? Isn't that a good question? So he could taste everything that you and I are tempted of and still survive and be victorious.
Amen.
Okay? So that the honor that belongs to the Father will now be shared with his Son as a man. I'm adding as a man because he said, I am the Son of Man. If you refuse to honor the Son, you are refusing to honor the Father who sent him. So they We're being told off right then and there. You know who I am, and you're refusing to believe. That was a blatant insult to them because they were so convinced that he was not the anointed one. Because if they did have to believe, they would now be accountable for all their judgments and all their failures of really submitting that he was the anointed son. Okay? So it takes all this doubt out of the picture and puts a clear focus. They knew who he was. They knew who he was serving. And still they wanted to get rid of him. Because they were afraid of their positions and of their religious traditions. After all, you know if you misbehave and carry your mat, you're dead in our eyes. Okay? 24. I speak to you an eternal truth. If you embrace my message and believe in the one who sent me, isn't that a clear one? Again, I speak to you an eternal truth, not a part-time one, one that lasts for eternity. If you embrace my message and believe in the one who sent me, you will never face condemnation. Wow. I'm going to take you a little deeper on that one. Just close your eyes right now. Say if I... Wait a minute, let me turn this... Turn it around here. Say, Father speaks an eternal truth. If I embrace the message of Jesus and believe in the one who sent him, I will never face condemnation. I will never face condemnation. Now that takes you into a new freedom of understanding. Okay? For in me you have already passed from death, from the realm of death, into the realm of eternal life. Are you ready now? Are you really ready? For in me you have already passed from the realm of death into the realm of eternal life. Ah. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask. Oh, please don't ask. You understand? Why? Because he's telling them. Say, Jesus spoke an eternal truth. If I embrace this message and believe in the one who sent Jesus, I will never face condemnation. Convince me now with these words, Lord. I will never face condemnation. For in Jesus, I have already passed from the realm of death into the realm of eternal life. What a victory! I own it because I believe it. It's up to me. Yeah. How many felt that one going down? Isn't that a gold nugget? 25. I speak to you eternal truth. Soon the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will arise to life. That's a cool one, isn't it? I speak to you eternal truth. Soon the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will arise with life. For the Father has given the Son the power to impart life. Isn't that cool? Even as the Father imparts life, and because the Son is now a man, woohoo, Did you get that one? Because the Son is now a man, the Father has given him the authority to judge the sins of all mankind. So don't be amazed when I tell you these things. For there is a day coming. Say, there's a day coming. When all who have ever died will hear the voice of Jesus through my mouth, calling them back to life. I kind of ran ahead of you there. Did you catch it? I'm going to read it again, verse 28. So don't be amazed when I tell you these things. For there is a day coming when all who have ever died will hear my voice, calling them back to life. And they will come out of their graves. They will come out of their graves. Those who have done what is good will experience a resurrection to eternal life. And those who have practiced evil will taste the resurrection that brings them to condemnation. Nothing I do, verse 30, is from my own initiative. For I, as I hear the judgment passed by my Father, I execute judgment. So he doesn't do it on his own. He knows what Papa, by the Spirit, has told him, and he goes according to Papa. For my judgment will be perfect, because I have chosen to do nothing on my own. Clear? But to fulfill the desires of my Father who sent me. If I were to make claims about myself, you would have reason to doubt. But there is another who bears witness on my behalf, and I know that what he testified of me is true. You know, when we take time to go a little bit deeper, dig a little deeper, declare what your brain says cannot be. You're like walking on water. It's shifty. It doesn't make sense. You're trying to reason it out. Do you ever ask why? Because the irritation is to the religious spirit, that you have already been accustomed to. Look at those that he was talking to. They couldn't stand why he was who he was, and they were in their traditions. Have you any idea how much of your traditions and my tradition that we walk in? And that's what shifts inside of us. Because we've had this background training. Guilt, self-condemnation, criticalness, fault-finding against ourselves. And it should not be. We've been released from all that. He forgave me all my sin. Either you believe it or you don't. And many don't. Because it's a part-time thing. Oh, I was good all day. Yay! Well, there's your pride. Pride goes before a fall. So there you go. See, depending on self, you're going to have what? Problems. Depending on him, you'll have victory every day. Put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I want those words. To have fruit in me.
Let my unbelief
be totally washed away today. Because I'm going to communion.
I'm going to receive
the bread of life
and the living blood of the Lamb.
It will make a change in me. Because I choose to believe.
That Jesus said,
my flesh is real food.
And my blood is real drink.
And it will have a response in my soul.
It'll have a response in my spirit as well.
And body,
get a clue.
It's going to change in you.
It's going
to
change.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. So.